Okay, so you enter into the ruins of an ancient throne room. There is the Dragontellus Rex. It is lying upon its massive hoard of treasure, apparently asleep. What do you do?
I prepare to cast Lightning Bolt.
I sneak around, trying to get into position to backstab.
I will start casting Protection Ward and get my healing spells ready.
I draw my new weapon and charge right at the beast, screaming my patented war cry.
You mean the plus one podcast of slaying? Okay, you are an idiot. Your blow bounces harmlessly off of the dragon's snout, but it is now very much awake. Everyone roll for initiative, and may God have mercy on your souls.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm your host, Scormus. Now today, we're going to talk about something that might immediately reckon back to our discussion a couple weeks ago about erotic roleplay. I'm going to talk about playing with myself, or playing with ourselves. All of us having a good old time playing with ourselves. Yeah. We're going to talk about solo roleplaying. No, it's not what you think. Well, actually, yeah, it totally is. But it's not what that was. That was a joke. No. Solo roleplaying. For many people, that's, what? That's, as weird as playing by post, which we talked about last week. No. There's actually something here. It's, really kind of awesome, to be honest. I mean, I'll tell you right now. When I first heard about solo role-playing being a thing, I utterly and completely disregarded it. I mean, when I was a kid, I read Choose Your Own Adventure books. Yeah, okay, sure. That's what that must be. But the game that I had heard about, this was last year, I think, I ran into it on Kickstarter. The setting seemed interesting. It was kind of an urban fantasy horror game. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a great setting. I can use that as a source book for other games. Or, being a industrious game master, not to toot my own horn, but totally toot. If I had my kazoo here, I'd play it for you. But whatever. Not to toot my own horn, but I figured, all right, if this is interesting, if the systems are okay enough, I'll just homebrew the stuffing out of it and turn it into a regular role-playing game. Because, you know, honestly, how hard could that be? You got a setting, you've got the ability to make a character, should be able to just run it, have somebody adjudicate the rules, and the players make their characters and play. Right? Simple. And I'll be honest, you can do that. Speaking of which, we're talking about the game Seekers Beyond the Shroud. You can find it at exaltedfuneral.com. I backed it on Kickstarter to get their exclusive hardback edition, which is awesome. And then I got the PDF with that. And then I went back and, as soon as it was available, bought a second copy, a softbound version, so I could take my beautiful hardback and put it away where it will be nice and safe and protected, because it's a numbered edition. It is going to get put aside. It is really cool and left alone. Be safe and never damaged. And then I'm going to play the crap out of the softbound edition, because this is a really cool game. And better yet, it is, while not perfect by any means, it is some damn satisfying role-playing. It really is. As a player, and as a player who has played these games, not solo, but just role-playing games in general, for decades, I can tell you, it scratches that itch. The only thing it doesn't have is the camaraderie of the group, of the sitting around the table or sitting around the living room or whatever it is, and playing with others, or being online and chatting through voice with others, or being online and texting to others, and that communication, that camaraderie, that interactions that you get with others. That is the one thing you don't have. And yes, that is a huge issue for a lot of people, myself included, when I first started hearing about solo role-playing games. That was the big problem for me. It's not really role-playing if you're not doing it in a group. Huh. Okay, let me tell you, it's story time, kids. I am a big fan of massively multiplayer online role-playing games. I mean, I have played them for years and years and years. My first one was Anarchy Online back in 2003. No, 2004. That's right. So, 16 years, over 16 years, I've been playing MMORPGs. And for a while there, back in World of Warcraft, I was main raid healer and then main healer in general for a progression raiding guild. I was druid and shaman officer. I have led 3 different guilds in different games. I've done dungeon. I've done organized PvP. I've obviously done progression raiding. I've done all that. I've done group play in MMORPGs. You know how I generally play them, though? 99% of the time, alone. I jump in. I do quests. I develop my character. Maybe if there's instances that you can do by yourself, I'll do them that way, because it's just easier. I mean, back in the early days of MMORPGs, back in the early EverQuest days and Ultima Online and things like that, one of the big problems was they assumed everyone would play in a group. So the outside world, outside of town, was ridiculously difficult to play in. You were alone. If the monsters weren't killing you, the other players were stabbing you in the back, taking your stuff, and you know, you had to go and run. You'd respawn in town, and you'd have to go and run to your body with no gear, no nothing, and hope that you could get some of your stuff off of your corpse. It was frustrating and not fun. But with World of Warcraft, things changed. Games became a lot more casual friendly. They allowed for solo play, satisfying solo play. So, even though I did raiding and I did PvP and I did dungeons and the whole bit, I also went out and just killed animals for their hide. I had a leather worker. I would make stuff, or I would sell raw materials on the auction house, make boatloads of cash that I could then use to buy all the potions and elixirs and whatever I needed for the next week's raid, and so on and so forth for hours every day. I just go out there and just solo, and it's relaxing and fun to just go do that. In fact, at a certain point, once I stopped raiding and generally stopped being in those big guilds, I preferred just playing alone. And that is where, you know, people would get on me and say, you're playing it wrong. You're not supposed to play MMORPGs alone. And I would say, no, everybody plays these games alone. When it comes right down to it, just when you log in, if you're waiting around for a friend, you are still playing the game alone. You may not be doing anything, but you are playing the game. And you are alone. You step outside to go do a couple simple quests. You're playing alone. Everybody plays alone, especially during their leveling up phase of the game. Most people don't do it in a group. They play alone. Solo play is the norm. So when people say that there's a problem with solo play in MMORPGs, it is the exact same argument as I was using against solo tabletop role-playing games.
Well, if you're playing a solo tabletop game, you're playing it wrong. You're not really role-playing.
I was wrong. I was utterly and completely wrong. It's simple. I mean, let me explain it this way. Let me tell you what happens in my experience in a tabletop role-playing game. You sit there, you make a character like any other game. You decide, okay, this character, Grondar the Barbarian, he lives in this place. Maybe there's the game has a preset setting, or like many other games, they have a quasi-preset setting. Like Ironsworn, it has a map, it has some zones, like countries essentially, but they're not. These different zones that are named, but it doesn't say what anything about them for the most part. You roll some dice and randomly determine what's up with those areas, what is going to be found, and you can decide, okay, I'm going to start here in this particular area. And you can roll these oracles, you can consult these random charts to see what's going to happen, what adversity you might face. Will you come to a door in a dungeon? Is there a monster or is there a threat on the other side of this door? You can roll yes or no. Maybe it's yes and, so it's even bigger, it's even worse, or it's just a yes. Are you going to no? Are you going to no, but, so it's no, there isn't a danger on the other side of the door, but something else is there that is going to drive the story forward. It's not an empty room. It's not a boring thing. Maybe there's not an innate danger like a dragon or a monster or undead or whatever, but maybe there's a puzzle you have to solve to move forward. Maybe there's a trap that you have to get past. Who knows? That's what's once you go in, that's what you then roll forward. And then people will say, oh, that's too choose your own adventure. It's just a choose your own adventure with extra steps. Maybe. You know, there's a little bit to that. But no, because unlike a choose your own adventure book where you're Percy the Dragon Killer, let's say, that's what they've decided you are, and you go, it gives you an option. You can choose to do this. You go to this page, choose to do this other thing, go to that page, choose this third option. You go to yet a different page. It's very static. It doesn't give you the randomized options that can occur in a solo role-playing game. And the thing is, it isn't just locked down these solo role-playing games like Seekers Beyond the Shroud or Ironsworn. Ironsworn's one of the big, well-known ones for sure. Seekers Beyond the Shroud is just kind of getting known, relatively new. Well, there's more and more of them coming, so keep an eye out. And I just lost my train of thought. It's sad. I had a really good point to make. I'm really tired, if you haven't figured that out by now. Anyway, oh yes, the point is, it's not just locked down to those games. Sure, there's nothing wrong with them, and in fact, in many cases, they are really, really good, because, for example, Ironsworn, it's got all these oracles and options built in. You can play the game as a regular role-playing game. You can play it cooperatively with a bunch of players and no game master, just using the oracles to answer questions and figure things out as you go along, or you can play it solo. That's great. It's got options aplenty. That's cool. But you can do this with any role-playing game, whether they're designed for solo play or not, because there are so-called Game Master emulators. The big daddy, the one that's best known, is called Mythic. I've tried CRGE as well. It's nice, but I like Mythic. Mythic works for me. It's got more options. It is got a little more depth. And it just, I think it works better. It was more well-rounded and just flowed. I've played it with specifically Feng Shui 2, which is very group dependent. And yet, although it was difficult, and I probably should have beefed up my character a little bit before playing, I went in with just a base starting character. And I won't ruin the prize, but he did some his share of kicking ass. But he also took quite the share of ass kicking in return. He had some hard times. The dice were not kind, put it that way. I tried to do everything random, just to see what happened. And I had a great time with it. And here's the thing. When you're playing a game in a group, you're a player. The game master knows what's coming. They know what the monster is on the other side of that door. But for you, you don't. Every next door, every corridor, you turn down the corridor, everything is something new. You're discovering. It's always about what's the next thing. Letting the story unfold and you figuring it out or trying to overcome the obstacles and get to the end of your quest successfully, right? That's one of the things that really makes me, that really appeals to me regarding Powered by the Apocalypse, because they're not so much about game masters knowing what's happening. It's about the whole table finding out what happens next, right? Well, these game master emulators allow you to do the same thing. It's always finding out about what happens next by consulting the oracles. So in a regular session, yeah, the game master knows what's happening. For the most part, you'd think they can use these oracles as well to just, if they don't have any preparation or anything, they can just come in and roll the dice and, okay, this is what happens. So yeah, they could do that. But for the most part, they don't. Because, well, I'll get to it in a minute. The thing is, for the players, it's effectively the same thing. Whether it's the game master sitting there smiling that evil smile, knowing what's beyond the door, or you with a pair of percentile dice in your hands, going, is there something dangerous beyond this door? And rolling to find out. And the thing is, let's say there is. You open the door. And here's the thing. There's no game master to tell you what's beyond that door. This is where the player gets to be the game master at the same time in a solo RPG. Because, for the most part, yeah, sure, you can roll sometimes randomly for a monster. Depending on the game, sometimes they have that. You can roll to see the danger of the threat. Then you can roll to see, okay, what type of danger it is. If it's an underground area, maybe it's these type of monsters. So you roll on another table and it'll tell you this. That's what happens. That's fine. You're getting a satisfying, something appropriate to the dungeon or the outdoor world or whatever you're doing. That's fine. But I wasn't doing that when I played Feng Shui 2. There aren't any tables for rolling and seeing what happens. You know, what monster it is or what bad guy it is or whatever. In my case, in this particular case of the games I was playing, it was imagination. It was me looking at the situation, knowing there's a danger in this room. And I could then go, okay, it's appropriate that I came in this room and it's full of gangsters. There's a bunch of gangsters sitting there playing cards or dominoes or whatever. They're playing some game. I have interrupted them. And I am not supposed to be there. Okay, badness occurs. Let's role play it. And then initiative. And then you do the whole math rocks. And you figure out what happens. And for a game like Feng Shui 2, it's extremely cinematic. So I would roll. If it was a successful hit, I could then describe this cool thing that I did to hit this mook and knock him out of the fight, because one hit knocks mooks out of the fight. But when there's a bunch of them, they kind of overwhelm you.
just in case you plan on solo playing Feng Shui 2, try not to have to fight 9 mooks at once solo. It hurts. You take a lot of damage very quickly. Just saying. Especially when you're playing an everyday hero. Jack Burton can't do everything. Anyway, point is, it was with a lot of these like Mythic or CRGE, these Game Master emulators that you can overlay on any game, they leave it up to you and your role-playing to decide what's behind that door. You know what's dangerous, but what's appropriate to the story, to the theme, what you've come along as you go. So this is a way you can kind of guide the game as you're moving along to tell the story you want to tell. Otherwise, it's completely random and can make little or no sense in the end. That's one of the drawbacks of this whole, well, you roll and you just kind of figure out what happens. That's great, but maybe for a dungeon crawl, that's fine, but most games, not so much. And this is where Seekers Beyond the Shroud does something really good, in that they have missions, okay? You go to this place where you kind of, it's a secret, what's a good way to describe it? If you've ever played the Secret World, or especially Secret World Legends, they have the World Tree, this hub that is only people who are in the know, who basically the bees, long story, can get to. And there you can interact with the 3 main secret societies, your own and the 2 others. It's the Dragons, the Illuminati, and the Templars. Templars for the win, by the way. Anyway, there are places where you can get missions and whatnot there to go out and do stuff. Or you can use this as a hub to go to places all over the world to then go do adventures in New England, or Egypt, or Transylvania, or Tokyo, or South Africa, that sort of thing, right? You just work your way through the world and do the quests, do these zones, and have a great time, right? Well, with Seekers Beyond the Shroud, you go to this spot in London, and you can interact with the various secret societies that are there and get a mission from them. And the mission quite often will have a number, I guess. I haven't played it yet, just from looking through it. And it'll basically tell you that you've got to go deal with these cultists, right? And it'll have a starting point, which is the front door to whatever their warehouse or their sanctuary or whatever it is. Let's say a sanctuary. So you're going into this big old mansion that the cultists are in. Now, you don't know how the house is laid out or anything. You don't know. You know you have to go and do X, destroy their book, stop them from summoning something, whatever it is, right? But you have to take 15 steps, and I don't mean walking steps. You have to do 15 different encounters before you come to the last one, where you'll fight a boss. But what is, when you go through the door, you check. Something here? Okay, it's an open foyer. Great. Is anything dangerous there? No. All right, so you can move on to the next one. And the next one, sometimes something will happen, sometimes it won't. You just keep marking down until you get to the top point, and then you come up against what would be dramatically appropriate. A elite cultist. Their leader. All right. So it's a veteran, more dangerous version of what you've been dealing with up to that point. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you're only dealing with cultists up to that point. They might have undead servitors or other things to throw at you, right? But for the most part, most of the time, when you're going after a cult, you're going to deal with cultists, right? Some of them you can sneak past. Some of them you can trick. Some of them you can do whatever to, maybe even use magic on, or just a good old pistol, bang, and down they go. It's crude, but effective. Point is, so many options, so many things to do. And yeah, there's no game master. Yeah, there's no story pre-built. You don't know what's going to happen next. Nobody does. The dice are the only ones who will know, and they're all randomized. And yeah, you might look at your map in the end, after you've gone and did your checks and whatnot, and go, yeah, this house, this map makes no sense whatsoever. But in the end, that doesn't really matter too much. It's a game with magic and secret societies, and you're going in after an evil cult that are trying to summon this demon or whatever. That doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense either, does it? It's role-playing. Get over it. We're not talking about rocket science here. And yes, this isn't exactly the most, like I said, not the most satisfying role-playing because you don't have a group. You don't have that social interaction. But I don't have that anyway. I don't have a gaming group anymore. What you hear on Knights of the Tabletop is, and that was pre-recorded months ago. So playing for us online just wasn't working out. And we can't get together in a group. So, yeah. If I want to role play, I have two options. Talk my wife into doing a game with me running it and her playing, if she doesn't game master. Maybe I could play a character and do both game mastering and playing. Or we could play cooperatively with a randomized game master using a game master emulator or like Ironsworn, which is built for that. Or I can play by myself, either an actual solo game like Seekers Beyond the Shroud or with a game master emulator. And for a lot of people, this is becoming a very enticing option. Let me tell you why. Like I've already said, everybody plays solo. Everybody does. Even if you're role-playing in a big group, how many times has the group split up? How many times have you just, you're in town and you want to go try and find magical potions? So you go off to this shop and not everybody follows. They're off at the tavern drinking, or they're talking to the local constable, or they're doing this, or they're at the job board. You're off by yourself, going and interacting with the shopkeep. Or you're playing a cyberpunk game, and God forbid you play a hacker, or techie, or whatever they want to call them, in the particular game, where you're plugged into the internet. That is entirely solo play, for the most part. So that's kind of a thing. Right? And it doesn't stop there. I mean, sure, most people play in a group online with voice or play by post or in person. But solo play, even if you're all in a group, in the end, it's not like you're all cooperatively playing your character. You still make those decisions. And a lot of times it's you communicating directly with the game master and back and forth. The other players aren't really important in that moment. You're directly communicating with the game master. And in a solo game, it's simply you and dice rolls. Whoa, dice will never, ever replace a game master. Correct. They won't. But they can emulate the yes-no questions. Because be honest, when you go and you ask game master, hey, is there something... I'm concerned. There's this door, and I want to know if there's something dangerous beyond that door. Most of the time, the game master ain't going to tell you. When you open that door, they'll then describe it. That's the same exact thing as you rolling the door, you're rolling the dice and going, yes, there's something dangerous. But in this case, you get to be a bit of the game master. You get to decide what that danger is, unless it's a game where it specifically tells you behind this door you're going to run into, if there's a danger you're going to run into, roll on this chart, or you're going to do whatever. Unless there's something like that, it'll tell you, determine what is thematically appropriate. Like a group of gangsters sitting at a table gambling, and you've interrupted them. Oops. Let the fight begin. Now, I'm a little over, but considering everything, with the pandemic as it is and whatnot, solo role-playing is going to, in my opinion, become a huge deal. It's not going to be D&D, but you know what I can't see? I can see Wizards of the Coast jumping on this train and creating a source book that allows you to play Dungeons & Dragons on, solo. I totally can see that. And I can totally see updates beyond what there already is to a lot of Powered by the Apocalypse games. A lot of them were built with regular role-playing in mind, and they've got already fan-made or official rules that have been added on that say, hey, yeah, here's how you can play it alone. Because Powered by the Apocalypse games already have, for the most part, the idea built into them of, hey, yeah, the whole idea is to figure out what happens next. It's not about the game master coming in with a whole predetermined story. It's a game master that comes in and offers, here's an obstacle or a quest to do. And then the players tell him how they want to respond. And he just riffs off of what they do. You can walk in with virtually no preparation when you're game mastering a Powered by the Apocalypse game, for the most part. This is no different. It's just randomized dice rolls. Yes, the stories can be a little haphazard. A little, I would say best way to describe it would be lacking in a natural logical flow. But that's more the fault of the player in a solo game than the dice. Because if you let your imagination, you gotta let go and just let your imagination roll. Don't worry about it. Just, here's what's behind the door. Okay, it's a danger. It's this. Hey, it's supposed to be pretty dangerous, so let's grab these dice. We'll roll them. It's 9 freaking mooks. Well, what do we do? What would be appropriate for my character, knowing my character, to do? And he done did it. And it, well, I don't want to ruin it. Let's just say that there's a, you may hear about this at a certain point in the future. Anyway, like I said, I used to be totally against solo role-playing. Maybe you are, but I suggest you really check it out. Even if you've got a group, even if you can role-play online or in a group if you're lucky enough for that, whatever. You're not always going to be available to do that. Sometimes people just aren't going to be able to show up. Well, maybe it wouldn't hurt to have a solo game lying around or a Game Master emulator, which you can pick up off of a drive-through RPG. They're super easy to get. A lot of them are free, like CRGE. Oh, yeah. Go get yourself one and just play. Not perfect, but it's a damn sight better than not doing anything. Anyway. So, like I said, we're way over time. So, I'm on Twitter at Scormy. Go by Scormy.com. We've got a Discord server and everything. And I'll talk to you next week. So, until next time, I'm Scormy. Bye!
All right. After a long and rather disturbing battle, the dragon is finally laid low. Most of the party is dead now, but somehow you have indeed come out triumphant.
You ruined my surprise attack, fighter. And my rogue got torn in half.
Fighter, you selfish ass. My cleric is dead because of you.
My wizard. My poor wizard is just a greasy smear now. So much blood.
But hey guys. I looked really damn epic with my plus one podcast of slaying. That beast barely scratched me.
Alright. Everyone other than the stupid fighter should roll up new characters. And we will see you next week.